You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O, RG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. And Tony, a very, very happy Thursday to you, my friend.
Happy Thursday to you. I wish it was just a tad warmer, but nevertheless, could be a lot worse. It could be up in the great nor'eastern where it's 5 degrees. But it's a tremendous day. I hope you're having a tremendous day, RJ. And as always, great to be with you here on Thursday.
You know, as a kid from the Rio Grande Valley, I get cold quite easily. And so it is a chilly time of year. But I'll tell you what, this time last year, I was getting ready to go to Minnesota for Radio Row, and I have never been that cold. And so I'm very grateful to be going to Atlanta this year, not Minnesota. I'm thankful for that.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Minnesota. My wife actually just got back from there, and she said today's the high is 8. So,
good God, that's just...
I told her it's great timing on your part. You're back here in Texas, but I don't know what you do when it's that cold outside. I guess you stay inside a lot,
That's why they have that mall. You know what I found out that trip? That mall has no central heating or air. Can you believe that?
No, I did not know that.
That's because of all the body heat. That's why they don't have central heat.
I got you.
I thought that was really fascinating when I learned it. There are six, the cap store lids where people buy caps. They have six of them in that one.
Is it really?
Six. It's just crazy. But it is Super Bowl week, obviously, or it's about to be. And obviously the Rams and Patriots going to be playing for that Lombardi trophy. But you've got some Lombardi action going on this week.
You know, I do. So I'm real excited about I'm actually going to Houston tomorrow night, and they're having the Lombardi Foundation Awards Banquet. And it's capped off by the name of it is Gridiron Greats. And what that entails is that Spencer Tillman has been part of the Lombardi Award, part of their board, and has been part of their putting the thing together every year. They're going to put something nice together for some of his old San Francisco teammates. And I'm sure people recognize the names of Joe Montana, arguably the best quarterback that's played. And then Ronnie Lott, probably the toughest dude I've ever met. I mean, who in the hell cuts part of their finger off and then comes back out on the field and plays? I mean, that's definitely a true story. So they're going to have that little Q&A with Tim Brando, which they're actually giving an award for his contributing for broadcasting. So I'm looking forward to that. And then they're actually giving the award out tomorrow night. And when I won it back in 1985, RJ, it was for the best lineman, defensive player, didn't incorporate every player, but this year they changed what the award represents, and actually Kyler Murray is up for the award. So they asked me to give out the award since I am a winner of that award. So hopefully I'll be giving it out to another sooner. But I'm looking forward to the best part about it, there's going to be 8 of my former teammates from University of Oakland that were on that 1985 national team. So there's going to be a lot of bullshit, a lot of stories. And, you know, one thing about getting back together like that, you just don't want to be the most, you don't want to look the oldest. You don't want to be the most out of shape. I think we'll reminisce and have a good time. I'm looking forward to be a fun time.
Cool. So I have a question about all this. I don't know if you know this, Tony. I've never won the Super Bowl myself.
I did not notice that. Wait a second. They said that was part of your resume. That's why I'm actually doing a 750 with you.
Well, so, I mean, I'm on the 750, and there's two Super Bowls within this show. And, you know, little secret, none of them are mine.
Is that what the O is for, goose egg?
That's right, yeah. No. I'm the Buffalo Bills of our podcast. But so I've always noticed, and I don't know if this is true or if it's just my perception, and especially having the opportunity to go to Radio Row the last couple of years, it seems like the appropriate time to wear your rings is, and I know you wear them a lot because you do a lot of appearances and things, but that seems to be like, okay, if you're going to be on Radio Row, that's when you wear the rings, because it's the Super Bowl, it's that week, and you know, that's what it's about. Is that, so something like this that you got coming up with the Super Bowl being the flavor of the moment, do you wear the rings, or is it just kind of like, hey, because I remember Michael Irvin saying once that he never wears his because when you have multiple, you don't have to, because people know you've got them.
You know, I think this time of the year you have to reminisce and you have to be, you know, part of that whole fraternity of Super Bowl champions. So, yes, I don't think it's a timeless piece. I will say this. I don't wear them as much as I used to. I guess maybe it kind of wore the novelty off, if you will. But people like to see them. And unfortunately, if you're a Cowboy wearing a Super Bowl ring, it gives away your age because it's been a long time since we won one. So it's a funny story. I was at Chipotle with my daughter yesterday having lunch, and I guess someone found out that I played, you know, for the Cowboys and Super Bowl champion. She goes, "Oh, you're a Dallas Cowboy." I said, "Yeah, I used to be. I'm a, you know, older generation dude. I played back in the Super Bowl days." She goes, "The Cowboys won Super Bowls?"
Oh God!
And of course she was 21 years old, and she wasn't even born. So yeah, unfortunately. But here's what I say: it's good to have the hardware. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. It's always. Someone always said, you know, you're a has-been. I said, well, it's better than a never-been. So yeah. I kind of look at it that way. But, yeah, I think you have to bring those out and just kind of remind everyone and yourself you know, the body of work and everything you did and what you accomplished. It's an accomplishment. And I don't think that'll ever get old. It won't.
Hell no. So when you wear them both, how do you wear them? I mean, are we talking, you wear one on your ring finger, one on the middle finger? What's the process?
Well, it's kind of hard to wear both of them because it's a problem
to have, Tony. It's hard to wear my multiple Super Bowl rings.
Well, and look, I'm being very modest. To me, it means more to me than it would anyone else. And I think for me to go in, I always thought when I first won them, RJ, it was great to go into, hey, man, in a club and, you know, go somewhere and you kind of hold them up and, you know, it's a great conversation piece, but I've kind of moved on from that. I've been married for 23 years, but it is something. It's a badge. It's a badge of honor playing in the National Football League to the, you know, the most coveted award that you can win. And that's winning in a Super Bowl. And I think you really don't think about it. And here's the thing I always ask, tell everybody, enjoy the moment. You hear the cliche, just it goes by so fast, but it's so true, because once you're into the moment of doing that, you think about this is going to last forever, and then all of a sudden, and just time flies by and you're looking back. And so I think everybody, I mean, especially this week as you go through the whole experience of the Super Bowl, and you've been there, it's just chaos, and it's a time where you just kind of look, and because there's going to be a time when you're going to be my age and you're going to look back and gosh, it's pretty surreal, but the rings and the trophies remind you of what you did.
Sure.
That a lot of people have searched for so many years. And as you mentioned, how about the poor Buffalo Bills that chased it for 4 years and have nothing to show for it?
Well, you know, that would suck. That's just
that really would suck.
That would suck, but we don't have that problem.
Yeah, so. And you mentioned the Buffalo Bills. Well, I was so great, and you saw this on social media. Jim Kelly, who's been battling cancer, is cancer free. And so that's such great news to hear someone like Jim Kelly's been, I mean, it was a tremendous player, but having to go through that whole process. And speaking of cancer, you know, the Lombardi Foundation, MD Anderson, which is a cancer hospital in Houston. So it's a great thing, but that was great news when I read that about Jim Kelly. That was pretty awesome.
Absolutely. One of the NFL's all-time good guys and best quarterbacks ever. It is unfortunate that you know, he didn't get to win a Super Bowl. If only he had won one of the first two, because, you know, we sure didn't want him to win one of those second two. But
hey, you know what? It's, as long as we're going back in time, I still remember the Super Bowl from 28 when I believe it's when Thurman Thomas couldn't find his damn helmet. I think it was 27 or 28.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how the hell do you not find your helmet? So I think that they were kind of snake bit those 4 years, to think about that.
They were.
This unusual circumstances just deterred them from winning the rings.
You took that whole thing full circle, though, Tony, because 28 was in Atlanta, which is where this Super Bowl is. So,
absolutely.
You know what it's like to win the Super Bowl in the ATL. So pretty cool. Was it cool to win it in Atlanta, by the way, after your career?
It was. You know, I was there for 5 years, and I don't know if there was any bad blood, but I wanted out. It was really one of those, I would say, grueling grinds of playing professional football. And, you know, obviously the money was not as big as it is now, but still, when you go through a time when you feel like you're just, you know, I'm just getting a paycheck. It's mm-hmm. like I'm going to work and I hate my job. And, you know, people are like, well, hey, look, you're making a lot of money. I said, well, yeah, that's fine. But it's like anything. If you don't enjoy doing it,
sure,
it becomes a grind. So it was great to go back there and be able to play where a place I started. You know, now I still have an admiration for Atlanta. I'm a big fan of what they do. Obviously, the organization, which started by, the new ownership under Arthur Blank is a lot better. But yeah, I think I got a lot of pleasure out of being back in my own backyard. And
that's interesting.
Sometimes if you force the issue a little bit, good things can happen to you.
Good for you. Well, excited to see some photos. I'm sure you'll post out on social media from this weekend. And excited for what's to come in Atlanta. Obviously, the current Cowboys are not going to Atlanta. That sucks. Doesn't Buffalo Bills suck, but it does suck. And Tony, it's the off season, and it's the second week, and we've got a Cowboys receiver making some comments publicly. This has become kind of common, actually, unfortunately, and a bit of a timeline, you know, sort of breakdown here. I wrote about this. It should be out later on Thursday. So depending on when you're listening to this, you can head over to blogoftheboys.com. So last January, Tony, 2018, Bryce Butler goes on Undisputed and says, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, when I was getting targets, we were winning games, we were making plays, whatever. And that's, you know, whatever, not a big deal. But then Dez Bryant had a few, we'll call them moments, you know, certainly some interesting times with Dez, took a flamethrower to the Cowboys in many ways. Alan Hearns, well, before that, Ryan Switzer, right after he got traded, he kind of publicly in an interview talked about how he didn't understand his role with the Cowboys. They wanted to use him like a scat back. Alan Hearns, as I mentioned, after the Cowboys lost in Houston, came out and said that, you know, the play call and the interception was one of the worst calls you can make against that type of coverage. And Amari Cooper didn't really chastise the offense, but he did say when the Cowboys beat the Eagles, he said that when they broke the huddle, he was thinking it was ridiculous because, you know, they had been sitting on those routes all day long, and then there was the hand signal and whatnot. So I'm getting to this point. In the last year, we have had six different occasions, multiple if you count all of Dez's, where Cowboys receivers have publicly commented on the state of the offense. Is that a receiver thing, or is that? What are your thoughts here? Because
I think it's a trend of where this offense is probably bottomed out at, and I think it's frustrating for. I think wide receivers. Look, who doesn't want to catch the ball? I mean, it's. You know, you want to be part of the offense. You want to feel like that you're a go-to guy, and it's kind of hard not to chirp about it. And I think when you have guys that are publicly making comments, it's got to come from somewhere. I don't think Cole Beasley is the type of guy that – I think he's a good soldier. Mm-hmm. I think he understands his role. But when you're so predictable on offense, and you know that if you could put some complexity in the offense, you can create plays. And I think you got to a point where, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to force the issue. We're going to run these plays. And I think that goes along with an offensive coordinator that may be just reluctant to change. And so players, and I've been in a lot of meeting rooms where we're doing, or you know, this, you second guess your coach because mm-hmm. You have respect for him, but then some of the things that he's telling you and what our game plan is kind of like scratching your head and like, well, I don't know if that's going to work. Mm-hmm. Or even when you come on the sideline and they're giving you running a play and you're like, why are we running the same, you know, running this play against this type of formation of play? So I think for Cole Beasley, it comes from a sincere place. And I know he wants to be part of the offense. I don't know what Cole Beasley's role is going to be because I think, you know, we're in this process kind of in between. We don't know who the offensive coordinator is going to be. I guess it may be Kellen Moore. Mm-hmm. It may be offensive coordinator by committee. But I don't know how you're going to be able to pacify everyone or not. Totally. Maybe pacify is not, but make everybody happy. But I think it's a frustration of not having enough big plays during the course of the season where other guys could be, you know, be involved in them.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I mean, everybody wants to be a star to some degree. There's nobody who doesn't want to make the game winning play, whether they're a receiver or a punter. You mentioned second guessing coaching, and there's obviously a reason why the Cowboys moved on from Scott Linehan, but the quote heard around the world from Cole Beasley this week was when he said, honestly, the front office mm-hmm. pushes who they want to get the ball to. I haven't been a huge priority in that regard. And then he said, maybe that will change, but I'm not sure. More balls come my way in 2-minute drill where nothing is planned. Now, he's totally right that he's a 2-minute drill beast. And that says at the very least that Dak Prescott likes him, which is a good thing. But and he did kind of walk these comments back a little bit on Wednesday because this all happened Tuesday. But what do you make of that comment? Because Stephen Jones was asked about that, about Cole saying the front office pushes who they want to get the ball to. And again, he did say that that's true in every sport, and that seemed like, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions, but that seemed like Cole's agent said, dude, you know, you're about to be a free agent, bro. Last thing we need is you looking volatile, you know, make sure you go smooth this out. But I don't know. I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that Cole Beasley needs to ask himself, are you a number one receiver? Are you a number two receiver? You're a slot receiver? Because as I mentioned earlier, he has to know his role. I mean, what is my role going to be? I think every time, every player knows where they stand. And I don't know for a receiver. And I would say he's somewhat above average. I would say totally. An average receiver. Okay,
he's a really good slot receiver.
Yeah, and but is that, are you going to get as much focus? Are you going to get as many balls as your number one receiver, the guy Amari Cooper? Mm-hmm. And look, I think when you do, I think his great example, as you mentioned, against Philadelphia, when they're anticipating, they're going to try to take him out of the game. And okay, well, where else are those plays going to come from? Are they going to be from me? Or are they going to be from, I don't know, Alan Hearns or Michael Gallup? Because I think, I think he needs to ask himself, what is my role? My role is, you're pretty much slotted, which, you know, imagine that slotted, you know, slotted receiver, but you're pretty much slotted where you're going to be as far as, like, free agency. This is the market for what you're going to be paid as a receiver. And a number one receiver is going to get more looks, going to get more balls, more targets than a slot receiver. A slot receiver is almost a safety valve. Mm-hmm. Remember this year we talked about before Amari Cooper signed with the Cowboys, came here as a free agent, that the slot receiver was the biggest, you know, the weapon on this offense. Yeah. And like that won't work. Mm-hmm. So I understand that, look, he wants to get the football, but 2-minute, you know, defenses are playing a lot more. They're not playing as they're backing everyone back. They're giving you thing underneath, and you're going to get the ball. So, I mean, I don't understand where that's coming from because I think everyone realizes that in 2-minute. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of distribution of the ball.
His Wednesday comments, when he did kind of walk it back, he said, some are misunderstanding my point. Every team's game plan in pro sports is dictated by the front office. Big free agent additions, high draft picks, etc. are going to get the most opportunities. And I'm not mad at that. LOL. I just want to help my team win. All good players want the rock. Now, I think he's totally right that all good players want the ball. Again, everybody wants to make plays. Everybody wants to feel special. Note, I have zero problems. And I really don't have a problem with anything Cole said. I think that Cole's point here is, hey, I want to be more involved. I think it's maybe not a good point because the Cowboys have Amari Cooper and Zeke on their team. And I think that maybe Cole, I think to say needs to get checked is a way too aggressive way to say it, but Cole is not going to get more opportunities on any team. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, not the way slot receivers work. You know, the most prominent slot receiver in the NFL is maybe Jarvis Landry, or mm-hmm. the way he was utilized in Miami. I know people will suggest Julian Edelman, but the Patriots are kind of a butterfly with how they operate. But that's just, I mean, you got to understand the way this works, you know, and I don't blame him for wanting to be more involved. I think it was just overall, it was a bad idea to vocalize those thoughts. I think it was, you know, unfortunately, he got sucked into Twitter and then it blew up.
Well, I think that he's not stupid. I don't, for him to retract or say that that's not what he meant. We know exactly what he meant. You know, anytime you push that send button, whether it's Twitter, whether it's email, you got to think about it, take a deep breath and think about what the consequences may be or the reaction of everyone. And I think that he was probably venting a little bit.
Sure.
And to retract and say, oh, well, people don't, look, Cole, we understand exactly what you meant. Mm-hmm. To me, I think you're just pouting because you weren't part of the offense, and really just you have to be humbled in this game. Was he making $3 million a year for a slot receiver? So whereabouts that? I mean, I don't have the – but I think he signed that new deal, so he's making about $3-3.5 million for a slot receiver.
Well, and, so Cole, you're right. His base salary for 2018 was $3.25 million.
Yeah, and it doesn't really. And as I mentioned earlier, when I was in Atlanta, sometimes it doesn't necessarily matter how much money you're making. You just want to be part of the offense. But I mean, for a slot receiver. It's almost like me when I played, you know, I knew my role. I was a run stopper, mm-hmm. and wasn't on third down all the time. So I knew that, you know, a guy that could rush a passer is going to get paid more than I did. And that's the market. But for him, it's the same circumstances. And talking about that and, you know, using social media as a platform and then all of a sudden, oh, I was just kidding.
He threw in this LOL to soften the message.
Please, with the Bitmoji and all that. And Come on, Cole. At least own up to it.
Yeah, I think there are three truths here. Truth number one, Cole was, for lack of a better word, pouting. He was upset. He wants the ball more, however you want to characterize it. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Truth number two, he's not going to get the ball more, and that makes sense given the kind of player he is and the kind of offense the Cowboys run. And truth number three, it was a bad idea to vocalize that because it was one of those situations when I was a kid in high school, and I would get into an argument with a friend or I would want to say something. My parents would always say, okay, RJ, what good can come from this? What mm-hmm. are you trying to accomplish? What's your objective? And, you know, when you let's look at things that way and you say, okay, well, if I say this, okay, what's the best possible thing that can happen from it? And you kind of do the math. You say, okay, well, nothing really good can come of this. I probably shouldn't say it. No good was going to come from Cole tweeting the way he did. Only bad was going to come from it. And as a result, I don't think he looks bad by any means, but he looks worse than he did. And he still is a fine guy and great receiver and a funny person. And he's been a great Cowboy for a long time. But this was this was just poking a bear, a sleeping bear, for no reason.
And I think everyone respects and has a lot of appreciates what he's done in his career at Dallas. And certainly, I think it doesn't go unnoticed and how valuable he is to this franchise and what he's done. And look at how many games he would, you know, he kind of disappeared because, you know, you had Amari Cooper, the running game, and you didn't really need him as that safety valve. And then there's a couple of games come along, all of a sudden Cole Beasley shows up.
Yeah.
More into the offense and everything. So I don't know if it's going to be, in his eyes, it's consistent with what he wants to do. I mean, how many catches did he want a game? 3-4? I mean, that's probably the average for a receiver in a National Football League that gets targeted a lot. I mean, certainly for a slot receiver, I don't have it in front of me. But
you know what was interesting?
It's not going to be a whole lot of balls. And you mentioned Julian Edelman. He's got the best quarterback that's ever played the game, and that offense has been doing that for – How many years has he been in the league? 15, 16 years?
Yeah, no, again.
They're not gonna change that whole system.
You'll never be Julian Edelman, not because Julian is more talented than you or anything, but because the Patriots are the Patriots. Exactly. If you're trying to compare yourself to the Patriots, you're gonna be disappointed 100 out of 100 times.
Right.
But you know, I went and I did some work and I wrote about this at BTB, mm-hmm. About Cole's targets and things like that. So his targets after Amari Cooper arrived, because he was definitely targeted before Amari Cooper, arrived in Dallas.
They didn't have a choice.
Right. But his targets after Amari arrived are the second most that he's ever had on an average per game basis. He had a huge year in 2016. But outside of that, I mean, targeted at kind of his normal clip, you know, nothing, you know, weird. Maybe he's just grown dissatisfied in that. I should mention also that in the games at Indianapolis and against the Buccaneers at home when the Cowboys won the division, he was targeted the exact same number of times as Amari Cooper. Now, Cole does have a point that a lot of those targets come late in games and in 2-minute drills. Yeah. And maybe he's just tired of being that guy. And you know, and to your credit, you understood your role. You said, okay, this is my role. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to accept that. And you got 2 Super Bowl rings because of it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you know, and it's hard in the moment. It really is. But I think that, again, it'd be different if he was 6'2", you know, 205 and a big receiver and a number one, number two receiver, or, you know, whatever his role is in this offense. And look, I get it. I understand. I have no problem with him saying anything. And that's just part of being a competitor. It's part of being, you know, want to be part of something and be included. And I think sometimes you feel like you're not ostracized, but you just feel like you're being left out. But I don't think that he needs to ever really feel that way. Again, the Cowboys gave him a nice contract and showed their appreciation again, and really for what his role is, really, I think, paid him because of what he meant to this offense. But I mean, that's his bread and butter, is getting in the 2-minute drill and being able to make plays, or, you know, down whenever they need to make some, you know, a play and just kind of clear things out. And we understand, you know, him trying to find, you know, that 10, his bread and butter is that 10 or 12, 13 yard play.
Mm-hmm.
And you look and go back and look at his statistics and yards per play, it's probably going to be 8 or maybe 10 yards per play. And that's his role. And that's not a bad role to have.
No, but it is a specialty role. Or
But he's a special player because he is good at what he does. I mean, there's not too many Cole Beasleys that do, you know, does the things that he does and does them very well.
It's not everybody can be the steak. You know what I mean? Somebody's got to be the potatoes. Somebody's got to be the mac and cheese. Somebody's got to be the asparagus.
Mac and cheese is not bad now.
Oh, dude. I mean, you know.
I mean, I'd like to be some damn good mac and cheese.
You know, I'm fine with that. And
I might just pass up on the steak and go right to the mac and cheese. That's how much I like mac and cheese and mashed potatoes.
I think that that's kind of what it is. Cole is the mac and cheese. And sometimes you want to.
But don't you feel like he kind of wears, got a little chip on his shoulder all the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like people forget his. I mean, he's a great story. He's, you know, went to Little Elm and SMU. I mean, so the guy is DFW through and through, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, he fell into the Cowboys when he was a kid, and we've really seen him become a man and become a father. And those are always the players that you really attach yourself to. He's been really funny. You know, there's always videos of him joking around, and
A rapper.
And he's a rapper.
Listen to some of his stuff. And is it good?
It's awesome. And he's got, you know, he does the sauce. I mean, he's a fan favorite. There's a special category of guys like that, and Cole is at the head of that board. And so he's a special guy, and you know, he's not a Ring of Honor player or anything like that, but you know, he's one of those guys that you tell your kids about. Oh, dude, man, Cole Beasley, he was so awesome, you know, and he would do
people
this.
Remember everything. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so I will say, though, it would get tiring always being the mac and cheese. You know, maybe that day that Cole was tweeting, that was a day he felt like being the steak, you know.
But how about the big catch he made in Philadelphia, the one at the end zone? And that was, I mean, that was a phenomenal catch. Or no, excuse me, against the Giants.
Right.
I'm sorry, not Philly. But I'm talking about, you go back to Giants, and yeah, it was. We talked about how that seemed like a playoff game. But think about the catches he made in the back of the end zone. People remember those type of plays at Cole Beasley and the capability. And I don't know. Maybe he wants to – I don't know with the Cowboys if they're going to be able to bring him back. He's going to be a free agent. I don't know if it's going to be an important thing for them to accomplish in the offseason. I wouldn't think – I would not think so. There's – I'm not trying to – again, I'm not trying to say anything disrespectful about Cole Beasley, but there's a lot of those dudes out there. Not a lot, but you can find a player that can somewhat fill that role.
Sure. I mean, it's a position so dependent on a lot of athleticism, which Cole has. And that's the videos of him dunking. I mean, he's so cool. But I mean
– But the catch in the New York Giants right there in the back of the end zone was – That was a Cole Beasley moment. People won't forget that.
It's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be sad if he leaves. I should say the last thing on Cole, Donald Driver, the longtime Green Bay Packers receiver, he quoted all of that during the drama of it all on Twitter and asked if Cole was trying to get his way to Green Bay. And Tony, you know, there's nothing more serious than this in internet language. Cole responded to that tweet with the eyes emoji, you know, where the eyes are looking sideways.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Cole said, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to go? I think Cole is a, yes, he's a DFW guy through and through, but Cole's never been about a metropolis. I mean, he's a quiet guy, a humble guy, enjoys a quiet lifestyle with his family. Go to Green Bay, you know, and get an awesome house, eat some cheese curds, and play for a really loyal fan base. And with Aaron Rodgers
as your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, things could be a lot worse than that. So, I mean, it would really suck to see him have to, you know, play against the Cowboys as a member of the Packers, but I mean, he would be awesome. You know, I don't think there's any denying that. But I also think that the fact that he's out here dropping little breadcrumbs, you know, I think he's gone. If I had to bet, I don't think he's a Cowboy.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys got bigger fish to fry than this. And it's the business aspect of it. And it's a little boy, I don't know, crying wolf. And I don't know what his motivation and what his motive is here. And I think everyone respects what he's done in front office or any, which I think that he's been playing in the National Football League for some time. It's a business in front office. If they can find a way to sell the offense and, you know, sell the romance and sexiness of offensive play, that's what they're going to do. And that comes with the guy that you bring in that you know is going to be able to make big plays. And unfortunately, again, I got breaking news for you, Cole. That's the way it is on every team. You're going to have your franchise guys. You're going to have guys that always make more money than you. Mm-hmm. It's like there's always someone that's better looking than you. There's always someone smarter than you. Think about that. Brad Pitt. Now think about it. You know, my wife says this, you know, crush on Brad Pitt. But maybe I can't say this about him, but there's always someone that's better looking, makes more money, and is smarter.
I mean, yeah. And
you're going to get tired of Angelina Jolie. I don't care how pretty she is. But, that's the world we live in. And that's my little terminology and comparison I'm trying to use in the National Football League. That's the way it's been for several years. Hey, I even put myself – there was times when I was jealous and envious, but I knew where my place was.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good, but – And you just mentioned about the two Super Bowl rings. Hey, I'm good because I got what I wanted. I got mine. And now I'm able to use that in a way in which I can, you know, hopefully monetize it and take advantage of what I did, what's on my resume.
Totally. I mean, you know, there's different ways of looking at life and different philosophies in the world. And Cole's always kind of marched to the beat of a different drum. You know, this was brought up a lot this week with all of this. But remember that he left training camp, you know, early on. You know, when he was still a kid, he kind of wanted to give up football. The Cowboys talked him back into it.
Second rookie year, second year,
and early on he was coming out of SMU, and so they talked him back because he had left, and you know, he's turned into a like I said, a fan favorite, a guy you'll remember, but he's definitely always been a little different just in kind of how he operates, and so we'll see what he ends up doing. The other big thing to tackle this week, Tony, and again, we say this every time, the disclaimer, Tony and I are talking on Thursday afternoon at about lunchtime, And so if you're listening to this after some news broke, obviously that happened after the fact. But as of now, Tony, we don't have an offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. It does seem like things are headed in the direction of Kellen Moore. And there are a lot of feelings about this. There's panic, you know, because people have seen Kellen play and they don't think that he can make a very good offensive coordinator. I think there's optimism, you know, saying, well, he's always been a great student and, you know, maybe he can translate that over. And then I think there's just indifference, people saying, you know what, I hope this works out. I don't really think it will, but you know what, let's get weird and let's just do it. And it's, you know, people are ready to see what happens. I think for what it's worth, the fact that the Cowboys are waiting as long as they have, they've said many different times, many different people from the front office have said that they like what they have internally. The writing on the wall does seem like that's the direction they're going in. So I'll ask you this. How bold is it for Jason Garrett to hitch his wagon to a first-year offensive coordinator who's only had 1 year of NFL coaching experience?
Well, I don't think it's a risk for him. Think about this. I don't know if it was Jason Garrett that wanted him out. I think it was just so much scrutiny and so much negativity out about Scott Linehan and the play calling. So I don't really think it's there's much risk at all because, and I started thinking about this. We talked about this briefly on Monday. First of all, not everyone in the National Football League that's an offensive coordinator played.
Sure.
Had a long career in the National Football League or maybe even college. I mean, I can think of Todd Haley, the guy didn't even, you know, his dad was a coach or in a player personnel guy. And I guess they gave him a manual on how to be a coach, and look what he's been an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Three different, places in the National Football League.
There's no prerequisites. I agree with you.
There really is not. And I think for one, you got to be lucky. You got to have a system. You got to have something you believe in. You got to have the most important thing. You got to have the players. And you have to have the confidence in the owner and the head coach. Now, when I look at this, I think, well, is this just going to be Kellen Moore? Is it going to be John Kitna? Is it going to be Jason Garrett? Is it going to be a three-headed, is it going to have the running, part of the running specialist, and different components of it, the passing, you're specialized in passing. They all come together and form a game plan. Because I think the most important thing is like find an offense. And I think finding an offense is going to benefit your quarterback. Then maybe Kellen Moore has a good relationship with Dak Prescott and understands him a little bit more because you know that. I mean, think about some of these coaches that become these quarterback whisperers, or even like Sean McVay and all the vogue and the really sexy coaches out there now. I mean, they have this capability of delivering. And, being the deliverer to the quarterback in the offense. But I think if you're Jason Garrett, and again, I thought about this last time we were on here, what's his risk? His risk is that his offense can be worse than it was last year. And I don't think that's going to happen because I thought they started to become a little better. So I think the trend, it's trending up that they'd make this change. And I don't really think it has to be that drastic of a change, This needed to be able to open up big play. When it comes to the passing game, they got to be able to find big plays in that category.
I had a great response on Twitter on Wednesday, Tony, and unfortunately, it's a little bit of a less positive spin than yours. And I'm not saying you're spinning because I think you're very fair, but somebody tweeted at me, and if you're listening and it was you, I apologize. It just kind of got buried. Somebody tweeted at me that it feels like the Cowboys are handling the offensive coordinator position this year the way they did the number one wide receiver position last year, because they let Dez walk, and then they said, we don't need a number one receiver. We got Cole Beasley. We went and got Allen Hurns. Check it out. So this year's version of Allen Hurns is John Kitna. We went and got John Kitna. He's going to help us out. You know what I mean? And we're gonna have all these guys. We're gonna put
just
them all
give
together.
Me a damn offensive coordinator. All right.
Yeah, but it does kind of feel that way. And for what it's worth, it could totally work. And there's reason to believe that it could, but. It is, and I use this word a lot, it is arrogant, and that's not a bad thing. It is arrogant for the Cowboys to say, okay, you know what? We're going to get rid of Scott, and we're not going to bring in anybody new. He was the problem. He was the one slowing us down. He was the one limiting us. We're going to stay completely internal. That could pay off, or it could blow up in their faces, the way the wide receiver thing did. I mean, at the bye, they said, okay, you know what? This plan sucked. We've got to go get Amari Cooper, and look what happened. I mean, so I think it's a bold roll of the dice to say, you know what? We've got the guys. We've got the guys, and Scott single-handedly weighed us all down.
Yeah, well, I think that I like the theory, but I think one thing that they've made the decision is to start now and try to implement this offense, whatever that's going to be. The only thing that I just am puzzled by is if he's going to be your dude, your offensive coordinator, just give him the title. Well, you know, I know they're at the Senior Bowl now and the Pro Bowl, and you know they're trying to commingle both those things. And collectively, I don't know, maybe they think that, again, it's going to be ran by an offensive coordinator committee. But I don't have a problem with it. I think if it works, hey, guess what? Kind of like the Amari Cooper, if you want to look at it that way. They made the change in the Amari Cooper, RJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look how good did that work out?
Well, yeah, but it,
you got to believe in me now, right?
But
work with me, okay? Listen, hear me out, okay? You just mentioned that they were, you know, okay, we went out and got all these different components to it. It didn't work and went to Amari Cooper. But listen, we made the change. What do you think about Amari Cooper? Didn't that work out for us?
It did.
Now, trust me on the offensive coordinator. We got rid of Scott Linehan. We got a younger Kellen Moore that we don't know. He may be the next football genius, guru in the National Football League.
He could be.
So trust us. Trust me.
My only point there is there's no coaching equivalent of Amari Cooper. They went and got somebody from the outside in a bit of a panic move, and it worked out for them. And so,
but they still had to go ahead and give up their number one pick, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, so I don't know.
It could have went the other way. I'm just trying to play. I'm not trying to be devil's advocate on this whole deal because I'm willing to give them an opportunity because they did change. And hey, I was shocked whenever they made the announcement. After that whole debacle with the Jason Garrett press conference and, you know, we're not making any changes. You know, next thing you know, hey, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then 3 days later, we're firing the offensive coordinator. So I'm willing to accept that. Now, again, I don't know what this is going to entail. I don't know what type of offense they're going to run. I know one thing. I think they'll have the connection with the quarterback if they're able to let this kind of, you know, just unfold and let things kind of fall into place. But don't try to, like, force the issue.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I mean, for all we know, Kellen is the answer. Kellen is a genius, whatever.
You're coming on my side.
I do think it is bold because as we stand currently, there's 1 year left on Jason Garrett's contract. And if it was my job and, you know, this could be the last year, I would not hand it. Or I would not hand a high level of trust.
Let me ask, who are you going to go out and get?
Well, I don't have
the
answer.
Coaches, there's not really – they got a couple of guys on the coaching staff now. The tight end coach, and I apologize. His name's going blank.
Doug Nussmeier. He's been
Yes, he's been an offensive coordinator in college for, Maryland, a couple other different
For Alabama. He was Amari's offensive coordinator at Alabama.
In Alabama, yeah. Okay, so maybe he's another guy that'll be part of this committee.
Sure.
So there's – it's not like there's just Kellen Moore, the quarterback's coach, and he's all of a sudden going to be, you know, promoted to the offensive coordinator job.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree,
I would have liked to see them gone out and got some name, but no one was available.
That's why it feels so similar to the wide receiver situation because they waited a long time to release Dez. You know, if they had released Dez when free agency began last year. You know, I know they made a push for Sammy Watkins, and thankfully that didn't happen. But the point is that they didn't go get somebody like you're saying.
They went out and got Allen Hurns. We didn't know this before the season.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got Allen Hurns from Jacksonville. They drafted, you know, Michael Gallup.
That's true.
Terrence Williams, which we didn't know, and he's not even going to be on the roster. So they did try.
They did.
And it didn't work. It failed terribly.
And all I'm saying here is, because you're right, and we've talked about this, how they didn't really have an opportunity because while all of the hot coaches were getting poached, they were in the playoffs. And good for them. Mm-hmm. But so I guess where I'm going with that is this is not some, you know, greatly conceived plan. This was not plan A, because I don't think it was plan A, because this feels like a settlement of sorts. Because to your point, it's okay. I mean, okay, well, who are we going to get? You know what I mean? Like, so when you ask yourself that, if you're asking yourself that question, by very definition, you are settling to some degree. It's not a bad thing to settle, but it is a settlement, is all I'm saying, because they realize, okay, look, man, we didn't get an opportunity to hire anybody else. That sucks, but we were in the playoffs, so whatever. Now our best plan might be this. It can be the best plan and a settlement. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it remains to be seen what may happen. And I think that I kind of sense that maybe you feel like there was a little panic mode there at the very end where they thought, well, we don't really have anyone, but we have to get rid of Scott Linehan, because if we keep him on the roster, don't make any changes, it's the perception. But the perception, sometimes I think you can use that in your benefit. And It's one of these deals where you have to make changes and move on and, you know, try something different. Because as long as Scott Linehan was going to be on that staff, they were going to have to do it his way. And we don't know the internal maybe issues were going on. We're not privy to that. Mm-hmm. The coaches and some of the things that they may have, and even the players. So I think if you start fresh and with someone new, I'm willing to give it a chance. I just don't understand why they haven't just went ahead and just said, look, you know, give them the title. But to me, that's kind of little unsettling.
Do you think, I mean, was there ever a point for you guys, and you don't have to name names or anything, but where you thought, you know, your first level boss, so for this example, your quarterback's coach, Kellen Moore, knew more than your coordinator, knew more than the guy above him, you know, where you thought, man, that guy, he could do it better. I mean, you know, is that a real thing that happens?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
It is.
Because so, you start second guessing some of the plays you're calling, and you're running that, and there's a reason why some of these guys I'm not going to say all quarterbacks are smarter than offensive coordinator, but we've seen a lot of quarterbacks in the National Football League that you see on the field, they're their offensive coordinator, and they're making the plays and, you know, the check, you know, the audibles and everything else. And, but yeah, I mean, I think that there's some that, and I think a lot of some offensive coordinators feel a little inferior to those type of guys, and rightly so, because it does exist.
So maybe Scott was just holding Kellen back. Maybe that. No, we're gonna choose to believe that. We'll see who they ultimately do announce as offensive coordinator. It will be interesting. For now, we'll just have to hurry up and be patient. So Tony, enjoy Houston. Hopefully, you're handing that award to Kyler Murray. Send some photos out and make sure you have a great time. Make sure you wear those Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, I'm going to, and I appreciate it. And it's gonna be a fun weekend, and You yourself have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
That sounds good. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you soon. This was the 750.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
We're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.